Hello and welcome along to the Colchester Arts Centre's Never Knowing the Understood podcast. I'm Tim and along with Nina, we bring you the Lust for Life podcast. Now, if you were one of the lucky people that got to see Lust for Life at their sold out gig at Colchester Arts Centre, in fact a sold out tour last year that garnered rave reviews, Mark Riley from Six Music said, "What a great gig, a great band and a brilliant night." And I'll tell you what, it absolutely was. It was stunning. And we're really fortunate because they're not back for one night, they're back for two, on the 28th and the 29th of February. Now, the 29th is completely sold out, and there are still a handful of tickets if you're lucky for the 28th. So, without further ado, I managed, and I'm just going to have to kind of pinch myself here, the simple reason that I got to catch up with Katie Puckrick, who is part of the Lust for Life band, along with Clem Burke from Blondie, Glenn Matlock from the Sex Pistols and also playing with Blondie, Kevin Armstrong, who has played with both Iggy and Bowie and is the musical director. And what a great band. What a great band. I believe Mark Riley said of last year's gigs, "Great gig, great band, brilliant night." And it certainly was. And as well as being a well-known broadcaster and presenter, Katie is also a fantastic singer and a bit of a groove master as well, a bit of a dancer as well, because, she used to dance with, she was part of the Michael Clarke dance troupe who performed I Am Curious Orange, the Fall, as well as performing with the Pet Shop Boys. She's sang with Sparks as well. And obviously The Word, that goes without saying, along with co-hosts Danny Bear, Terry Christian, Mark Lamar. But anyway, I digress. So let's catch up with Katie and she'll tell you all about the tour.
How did the Lust for Life tour come about?
Well, it's I'd love to take credit for it, full credit, but I can take no credit for it because it's all down to a visionary madman, an empresario by the name of Tom Wilcox. And a couple of years ago, he had the crazy notion of gathering together various individuals who had worked with Iggy Pop and then sticking me behind the mic to kind of reinterpret Iggy Pop in the guise of a very flexible 60-year-old woman. So, He had previous form, Tom Wilcox, in doing this because he kind of has a artsy fartsy franchise in bringing together various musicians who've worked with the likes of Lou Reed or David Bowie and then recreating a classic album with some of the individuals who worked on it. So that's what was going on here with Lust for Life. And I tell you what, it's the best job I've ever done.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, the best job I've been offered. I don't know if I'm doing the best job I've ever done, but you can be the judge of that.
Well, I mean, I was there for last year when you played at Colchester Arts Centre. And then I think I think the tour just kind of it garnered such great reviews, quite rightly. But I mean, I think that people had an expectation, but I think that it was just kind of blown completely out of the water.
Yeah, we obviously we were thrilled with the feedback. I mean, not only the reviews, but just, you know, the real deal, man on the street, people reacting on the socials and putting up pictures and clips and telling their friends to come. I think it was there was something, I call it a communion, because it was more than just the band working up a few songs and then showing up and, you know, doing a show and tell. It really was the energy of all of these different elements coming together. Everyone has such goodwill towards Iggy Pop. They love the Lust for Life album. And then curiosity and fascination and excitement about seeing the likes of Clem Burke and Kevin Armstrong and Glenn Matlock performing. And then the Scooby-Doo question mark of Katie Puckrick singing. What's that going to be like? And then finding out, actually, it's really fun and great. And the audience for me was the reason to come back night after night, because it was just like plugging into a giant generator of joy.
A generator. What a wonderful description. I love a generator of joy. And how different is it? Because I mean, I guess a lot of people would be aware of you more from a kind of broadcaster presenter. And then maybe is it a really different kind of experience going out and performing?
Well, it's a different job to being a TV presenter, that's for sure. But for me, it's not, it wasn't a stretch because actually I started my career when I first moved to London in the 80s. My idea was, oh, I'll just be a pop star. That's what I'm going to do. Easy peasy. And so I was writing and recording music. And at the time, you had to go through the gatekeepers of record companies. So I was like doing demo time for various record companies. I was performing all over London live to backing tapes. So I was already, and then also I had a ongoing career as a contemporary dancer. I was dancing with various companies, Michael Clark Company and DV8 Physical Theater. So by the time I fulfilled my long-held promise, however many, or let's say 80s or 20, that's many, many decades. I need a calculator now. But anyway, it really felt like a homecoming. I felt like, oh, okay, yes, I remember doing this, and the muscle memory was there. And then the most gratifying thing was the people, complete strangers, informed me that, yep, this seems like the thing you should keep doing. So it was smiles all around.
Excellent. And was it always on the cards that after the success of last year that there would be a follow-on tour for this year?
Well, I wanted it to be on the cards. I wasn't sure. I was a bit coy about, expressing my fervent hope that it would continue. Because, oh, it turns out that the rest of the band are all like superstars and they tour the world in giant bands. Like, there's Glenn and Clem mincing off to blondie it up all over the place and stadiums and arenas. So, I sort of felt like I, wasn't necessarily going to be the first dance on everybody's dance card. But yes, once it was so well received, I think everyone felt like, yeah, let's go in for another couple spoonfuls of sugar because it tasted so good the first time around.
Excellent. And is there any changes to the set list, or is it
Yes.
all?
Yes. So we're still touring Lust for Life in its entirety. So we're do the whole album in the order that it originally appeared in. And then we're going to. We kind of sprinkled around a few different David Bowie songs. Of course, David Bowie had such a fascination for Iggy, and was, I don't know if mentor is the right word, but he definitely shepherded Iggy along. And in fact, Lust for Life and The Idiot were Iggy's first two solo albums, because before that he was a stooge. He was one of a band. One of a stooge, and so we, that's how we justify our David Bowie stuff. And we've picked a few things. Actually, one of the songs we'll be doing is a song that has a co-write from Kevin Armstrong, our musical director, and Bowie side man for about 10 years. He also worked with Iggy for many, many years. And so Kevin co-wrote Absolute Beginners, so we're gonna put that in the set. And then there's gonna be, yeah, some other Stooges songs and some other Iggy songs. So and I wanna and also I have a special love for the Blondie song Hanging on the Telephone. I love power pop and I love that song. So we're gonna do that one too.
Fantastic. And in terms of the Lust for Life album, do you have a particular favorite track? And also, I guess, do you remember that time when you first heard the album?
Well, I sure do, because that was when I was getting into the tangier edges of music. I was a teenager and I was getting in to this very abstruse stuff from the UK. So I was getting into Roxy Music and David Bowie, and then by that time in the towards the end of the 70s, we were getting all the stuff coming in from New York City, like television and Talking Heads, and so I was definitely, I think that in fact I came to Iggy through David Bowie, because of course David seemed so cool, so I wanted to get into everybody that he was into. And so I do remember loving Lust for Life, but also feeling, when I first heard it, I think I heard it as much, I think I missed the humor of it when mm-hmm. I first heard it. And now that I know the song's inside and out, I so appreciate Iggy's vulnerability mm-hmm. and the humor of the album. Yeah. And in terms of the song, some of the songs were really challenging to learn. Weirdly, for me, the hardest song to kind of keep in my head is The Passenger, because I sort of feel like Iggy must have just been improvising the lyrics, because they're kind of, some verses are 4 lines long, some verses are 6 lines long. They repeat some lines, but they're in different places. So mm-hmm. that always kind of stumps me. And I also feel like pressurized to not screw up, because it's the one that everybody knows. But I love Success. You know, mm-hmm. that song actually always cracked me up, because it is just that perfect braggadocio. It's a cross between vulnerability, like being a loser, and being a show off, because mm-hmm. he's got this whiff in the lyrics. The narrator has this whiff that, you know, he's going to hit the big time, and here comes my face. I just love that line, here comes my face. So that is a really fun song to perform. And then another song that I unexpectedly love is Turn Blue.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I that one is like, it's a weird kind of spoken word free jazz little performance art thing, and I weirdly clicked in with that one, so I enjoyed that one.
And in terms of, because originally you recorded or re-recorded Success to promote the original tour, is there any plans to record together, either in the studio or to make a live recording?
Well, that's a really good question, and I would be up for that. But we did make a live recording that's coming out. There's a double album that's coming out of compiled from our last two gigs on last year's tour at the Brilliant. Lexington, London. So that's coming out shortly, like maybe in a month it's coming out before the tour, so because we'll be selling it. So yeah, so in answer to your question, yes, we have a live album coming out. And then there is Kevin Armstrong, the musical director, guitarist in the band, and I have kicked around the idea of writing something together, although he seems to be a little mysteriously busy every time I bring it up. I won't take it personally, but yeah, I'd be up for doing more recording. Excellent.
And you're starting the tour off with two nights at Culture Arts Centre. So
yes, too much pork for just one fork. Yes.
So, I mean, the 29th was the date that was originally announced. Yes. And then the 28th was... Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then another date was added, which I believe is very, very close to selling out.
I hope so. Yeah. Get in there, people.
It will be, without a doubt. And then you're doing 8 other shows as well. I think you're doing Hull, Glasgow, Manchester, Leicester, Birmingham, North Shields, Liverpool, and then finishing in
London.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's quite a full-on tour, because it's quite condensed, isn't it? I mean, I think
it is.
So
yeah, it's full on. It's like a reduction sauce, rock and roll reduction sauce. It's just all the good stuff.
And how do you keep your energy levels? I mean, is it just the kind of buzz of the audience and the band playing together, or?
Well, the buzz in the audience and the band playing together, all of that is alchemy, of course. But everyone is very, I was interested actually to witness the road dogs in the band, the people who've like Clem Burke, who's just spent his entire life playing, doing what he does best, and Glenn as well. And Clem in particular, he's my guru for how to maintain energy on the tour. His nickname on the tour bus was Elf on a Shelf, because he commandeered the there's like a little shelf above the back seat that you can lie down on. And he's pounding those skins for hours every night, and he needs to take care of himself. And also, when he wasn't elfing on a shelfing, he'd go for a run like first thing in the morning. He was the person who knew he could, like, you'd come down for breakfast at the hotel and he'd already be saying, okay, don't sleep on, the oatmeal, it's fantastic. Sausages are great here. Like, he was all about the quality of life. So maintaining energy, and then also just a nose for the good stuff. But yes, you have to just be quiet and gentle with yourself in the day. And then, yeah, once I'm on stage, it's I sort of feel like I'm possessed.
And once you've gone through that kind of possession and you come to the finale of the gig, how do you then kind of, I don't know, how do you then kind of come back down to earth, I suppose?
Well, I don't like to come back down to earth. That's a secret. Try not to come back down to earth. No need to do that.
Good.
I mean, I don't know if we were doing a Taylor Swift level of touring and length of tour, that would be a different story. This is a couple of weeks, and it's enough to just kick out the jams, go to 11 every night. But I just am a naturally energetic person. I like to talk to everybody, because I feel that the other thing is that gigs are pretty intimate, and I can see everyone in the audience, like they're looking at me, I'm looking at them, we're having a dance together. I feel like we're all having a dance, we're bopping, and I get to sing to them and they're singing back at me. And so it's just fun to go out and talk to people afterward. And I might have just a little tipple of Japanese whiskey. That's another a little treat, just to like pour a little molasses on the situation.
Excellent. Okay. Well, look, thank you ever so much for your time, Katie. We're really looking forward to the. Well, I shall be there for both of them.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. I'm really looking forward to it. And I tell you what, the Colchester stage was the biggest size stage that we had on our whole tour, and that was the first time that I could really like run around, because
Oh, cool.
normally I was sort of pogoing on a 12-inch square space, like doing all my moves. So I didn't look as much as like I was having some sort of seizure or something. In Colchester, I looked like I was properly, busting a move. So thank you for that, Colchester.
Well, it's good. I mean, we've got a good stage. We've got a great sound system. We haven't got
Yes,
the
wonderful. I love that venue. In fact, I played in that venue in the 80s when I was a dancer, when I was dancing with DV8 Physical Theater. So it's kind of a homecoming.
And thank you very much there to Katie for being such a fabulous and entertaining guest. Now it's come to that time where we go on a celestial journey with Mick. And now, next up, it's Mick, the absolute legend, the resident hippie at the Colchester Arts Centre, who'll take you through some of the highlights of the forthcoming events at Colchester Arts Centre. Mick's picks are like a celestial flying teapot ride around a patchouli-scented galaxy, guaranteed to bring wonder and open the doors of perception.
Well, Mick's picks for February 2024. Gosh. Let's try Wednesday the 7th, the return of Henge. Why not? They're always fun. And what do we got? On Sunday the 18th, well, there's no way on earth I'm going to attempt to pronounce his name, because I'll get it very, very wrong. But it's chat from Afro Celt Sound System. Check it out. I think that's it for now. Have a fun month.
And thanks to Mick for those fabulous recommendations. Do go online, have a look and see what's coming up. There's plenty. Or pick up one of the programmes. And come along and enjoy yourself. Now, it must be that time for Dr. Anthony Roberts and one of his many fascinating stories that everybody loves, and quite rightly so.
Hello, this is Dr. Anthony Roberts, and the latest thrilling instalment of Never Knowingly Understood, as it appears in the weekly Essex County Standard. It reads like this. It probably comes from being too enamoured with P.G. Wodehouse, but I have an image of myself relaxing mid-morning, ensconced in my usual armchair at the club, hidden behind a large newspaper. Somewhere in this ludicrously delicious fantasy is the idea that I've recently polished off a plate of smoked kippers for breakfast. This club would have leather chairs, wooden panels, shelves with old classics, books, and someone quietly polishing glasses in the corner. I would be wearing a smoking jacket. Every so often, a polite inquiry would come from the person polishing those glasses. Would Sir care for his pre-lunch pick-me-up? I've no idea what this pick-me-up would consist of, but I would guess that it's some magical concoction of brandy, maybe raw egg white, a twist of lemon, and other mystery ingredients that would soothe the sore head of a hangover and put a spring in my step. This is all completely divorced from reality, of course. I'm not a member of any club. I don't drink, I don't eat kippers, I don't own a smoking jacket, and I never have. But the only bit of the fantasy I hanker after realistically is the large newspaper. I think only the Telegraph is produced on the old-style, huge-sized paper format you can genuinely disappear behind now. Even a paper as steeped in tradition as the Times caved into popular fashion in 2005 and is now sold in handy tabloid size. I'm not really bothered about what I'd be reading in the newspaper. It's the bit about disappearing behind it that matters to me. Style over content every time. In the Roberts family household. I'm upset about this shrinking of newspaper size. First, the papers went from broadsheet to tabloid, and now they've gone from tabloid to digital. I started my paper round in 1974, and to my mind, at this time, this was the ideal size for every newspaper, and it should never have been allowed to change. All this mucking about with sizes, typefaces, and now the new online versions that you read on your iPhone, it's not what's required at all. I know some would argue that you can't really stand in the face of progress, but try explaining that to Mrs. Smee at 42 Belmont Avenue. She always had some vicious complaint about my newspaper delivery. If I'd told her she'd just have to jolly well read it on her iPhone instead of a newspaper, goodness knows what level of apoplexy, not to mention complete bafflement, I'd have received from her. This was in the days before Sunday editions took the felling of a small forest to produce. The Sunday Times now has about 30 different supplements. It contains colour sections, souvenir editions, foldouts, posters, separate papers for travel, gardening, cooking, sport, TV guides, and probably a four-page special dedicated to the specialist practice of kalinotropy, whatever that is. I'd be interested to find out, since I just made it up. Every copy weighs a ton. This last weekend, for the first time in ages, I actually bought a Sunday paper. And what a glorious luxury it was. Like just about everyone else, without really making the conscious decision, I've drifted away from actual newspapers and now receive my news online with the world of rolling news and 24/7 updates. I used to have two papers delivered every morning to my home address. Now that's a lot of newspaper. Buying this Sunday paper made me realise how much I'd missed the feel of the paper, the smell of the newsprint, and the physical act of sifting through the pages. I never imagined, as a 14-year-old paperboy, how much I'd end up agreeing with Mrs. Smee of 42 Belmont Avenue when she was haranguing me about the changes to her newspaper in 1974. I'll be applying to that club for membership next week.
And thank you very much there to Dr. Anthony Roberts for another fascinating insight into his mind and the way it works. Well, it leaves me to say thank you very much for listening to the Culture Strata Centre podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you'll be along for the Lust for Life tour. And if you'd like to hear a little bit more, then you can pop along to Mixcloud and also on Colne Radio on 106.6, where you can hear an extended version which features not only some live tracks from the Lust for Life tour from last year, which are exclusive at the moment, and a re-recording of Iggy Pop's Success, but there might be one or two other things. So have a tune in, and until next month, thank you very much from all of us at Culture Strata Centre, and hope to see you soon.